On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, the baseball team is super once more. As the guys advance to the Super Regionals, I will break down and recap the regional games and preview what is next for Gamecock baseball. Okay, here we go. To episode 162 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope y'all had a lovely weekend, Gamecock Nation. What a super weekend it was! I had a super time watching our super good baseball team looking like superheroes out there. In a super city and a super ballpark in front of super fans, if you can't tell. I'm pretty jacked up. I'm pretty excited. I mean, wow. Obviously, talking about the Gamecocks baseball team making it and out of the regional game and onto the next round, just got the word super on my mind. But this whole episode, just based off of what went on in Gamecock Nation this weekend, is fully dedicated to a Columbia Regional recap. So I'm going to recap all of the games and everything, then preview what is next. So not sure how short or quick this is all going to be, depending on how I get rolling. But before I jump into all that, you already know it's time for the handy-dandy Gamecock Fact and Trivia Calendar. Today, we have a piece of trivia to start off your week here, so let's get to it. Name the South Carolina product who was the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year in 1981. I think if you take the time to think about this one, you will know the answer is George Rogers, none other than George Rogers, the legend. I actually met him this past football season. He was doing an event at a brewery, an appearance with the Heisman Trophy and everything, and I was totally fangirling. I mean, that was a really, really cool moment. As a college football fan, to not only meet the Heisman Trophy winner from your school, but to then hold the dang trophy? Oh, my God. You can, if I posted the picture on my Instagram. If you scroll back deep enough, you swipe on it. I look like a kid in a candy store. But nevertheless, shout out George Rogers. He is an absolute legend forever living in Gamecock lore. But something else that lives in Gamecock lore is baseball success. So like I said, our Gamecocks are super once more as they swept the regionals in front of an electric home crowd out at Founders Park in a regional group that was considered one of the deeper ones, one of the better ones. And the Gamecocks just smoked them. Absolutely ripped through this regional. The team looked so strong from the word go. And they put together three very, very impressive outings, right? Looking like the team that we saw and fell in love with in the first half of the season. They were clicking on all cylinders. And you had everyone back, right? Obviously, Jerzenbeck and Hall with being the major exceptions here, but you had Braylon Wimmer back at shortstop. Cole Messina behind the plate. Will McGillis was back in the lineup as a DH, and he provided that pop that we saw and was so important for us earlier in the year. So you had the squad back. You weren't trying to patch it together with the DH here, pinch runner there. No. Braylon Wimmer leading the defense, being more involved in the game, making fine defensive plays, I think helps this entire team. And then I think it helps him be more in tune with the game and subsequently perform better at the plate. Cole Messina is a beast. He's a fantastic catcher. He too, when he's behind the plate and in and around all the guys, I think they perform better. Will McGillis providing the pop looked more like himself. Very, very cool to see. So I'm going to recap each game here. Just kind of hit the highlights. Talk a little bit about what this all means. And then what is next for the Gamecocks. And then we will get out of here. I'm just so excited. I mean, it just feels good. I mean, I'm gonna get to this in a little bit, but like, this is what we were working towards, right? I mean, all season long and all off season, it's just, this team has to get to supers. Getting to regionals is great, but it's sort of that expectation year in and year out. You should be able to get there. Getting to supers is no joke. And this team, a couple of weeks ago, looked like they were floundering, right? I mean, we were saying there was a collapse. This team went sideways. And we knew that that was because of the injury bug. And you felt like this team was right there. And you knew it was possible, right? But my goodness, to get it done in this way, and then to be a team with a legitimate shot at Omaha right now, as it stands today, is incredible. It's what we thought this team was capable of for the first, 60% of the season? 70%? And then things kind of went sideways, but we're back. Like, you know, it's like the team just looked exactly what you wanted it to be, starting with game one here against Central Connecticut State, as the Gamecocks won 19-1. Woo! I mean, this was just what the doctor ordered, and it was the perfect way to jumpstart the team for postseason play. I talked about before this game, you needed to score early and often, and my God, that is what this team did. You know, you had guys hitting well, you had guys pitching well, and it wasn't a situation where they had to fight and claw, and it just clicked. And I think it was this rest and having guys back in the lineup where they were able to do that, you know? And I think it just, it kind of got that monkey off the back where it was, you know, we are in fact this good team. Central Connecticut State, yes, they were the lowest seed in our region, but they were still a champion in their own right. And they were coming in playing very well. You knew that they had struggled against ranked competition, Power 5 competition. And so by just smacking them around, I think you reestablish that this team has some swag. This team is good. You're hitting throughout the lineup. It wasn't relying on one or two huge hits. And it was just exactly what you needed to do. The Gamecocks did the majority of the damage in the middle innings. 4 in the third, 11 in the fourth, and 3 in the fifth. Obviously, you got a couple scattered throughout there, but being able to string innings together with crooked numbers, which is just what this team needed to see. Prior to this, like in the SEC tournament and that late season stretch, you saw maybe one good inning and then some gaps, right? But getting a couple in a row is just what this team needed to do. And it means that everyone contributed, right? And then James Hicks got the start in this game. He pitched a gem, going 5 innings, 6 strikeouts, 1 hit, and 0 runs. I am incredibly impressed with James Hicks. You know, I mean, out of the bullpen this year, he was someone that looked impressive, someone that was reliable for like 90% of the time you put him in there. But these last two outings, where you've asked him to start in huge leverage situations. First in the SEC tournament, opening game. Then you're opening against the regional, which, yes, granted, you have a little room for error in that it's set up, but you needed to get out of this game. And you needed to perform well. If things had gone sideways with him, then you would have gotten into the bullpen early. And it just, you needed a good start. It's exactly what you got. He's delivered in back-to-back times and has offered a lifeline for Mark Kingston and this team. While they weren't ready to start Will, Mahoney needed some rest. It worked out perfectly. Some player highlights from this game. I mean, too many to list. I basically just went with the most RBI. So Gavin Cassis, 3 for 3, 3 RBI. Will McGillis, 2 for 3 with 3 RBI. Ethan Petrie, 1 for 3 with 1 RBI. And Michael Braswell, 2 for 6 with 3 RBI. I actually think Petrie had more than that, but nonetheless. Which brings us to Game 2 against NC State. Now, this was sneakily the team that I was most worried about in our regional. They might not have been the most overpowering team in the country, but they were a deep team, a team with a good amount of experience, and coming out of the ACC. So they were not intimidated by tough places to play. They have gone against top competition. That's a pretty good conference for baseball. So this was a team and game that I was a little worried about. And I felt was going to be the biggest test for Carolina. And Carolina passed the test, beating the Wolfpack 6-3. It was a bit of a pitcher's duel early as Carolina led just 2-0 after 4 innings, thanks to a Braylon Wimmer home run. But then the Gamecocks broke the scoring open with a 4-spot in the 5th inning, thanks to some great hitting with runners in scoring position. That was something that this whole regional, the team did incredibly well, was hitting with runners in scoring position. I think they hit, I don't know the exact figure, but I think it's right around like 400. And that was something that the guys struggled with late in the year. And it was a frustrating point in some games where you would watch it and it just wasn't happening. That's how you win in the postseason, right? I mean, it goes without saying, you got to hit when the guys are able to score, but to do so at such an efficient rate is very, very impressive. But the Wolfpack did make things interesting. They scored 3 in the 6th inning and threatened at the end of the game, had a couple men on, but Carolina was able to shut the door on the rally. Jack Mahoney had himself a solid outing, going 6 innings, allowing 3 earned. Eli Jones went 2 1/3 in relief. Chris Veach came in to save the final 2 outs. So just a solid team effort there. Player highlights from this game: Braylon Wimmer, 1 for 3 with 2 RBI. Gavin Cassis, 2 for 5 with 2 RBIs. And Talmadge LeCroy, 1 for 4 with 1 RBI. Which brings me to Game 3 against Campbell, the regional final matchup. Sunday night, under the lights, of course. Had things not gone our way, there would have been the second game, but nonetheless, I'm building up the drama here. If you can't see, Founders Park electric. The Campbell fans behind their dugout, little chirping energy throughout the stands from what I heard. It's exciting. Nevertheless, though, the Gamecocks beat up on Campbell 16-7. Now, early on, Campbell and Carolina exchanged 2 runs each in the first 2 innings. And after that, it really looked like to me it was going to be this serious battle of teams just exchanging runs, going to be a long night. You know, which team can just outlast the other one, offensively speaking, right? But then the 3rd inning came. So my mind changed pretty quickly, and South Carolina hung 7 runs on Campbell, and it was just a hit parade, right? I mean, no other way to describe it, just a hit parade. highlighted by LeCroy and Cassis doubles, big scoring, and McGillis home run, just an absolute nuke to the left field bleachers. And it was just the type of inning where Carolina just moved up and down the lineup and slugged their way to a big inning. It was just hit after hit, double, boom, move a guy over, beautiful. It was huge, right? And then in the fifth inning, the Gamecocks put up four runs, all thanks to a different type of approach, right? They had strong, disciplined at-bats, getting on base, strong base running, moving guys over, sac flies, and it just showed the different ways that Carolina can be such a strong team and the different ways that this team can beat you. All right, like in the third inning, they did everything right, but you saw that power. You had a McGillis home run, you saw doubles in the gap, scoring multiple guys, whereas in the fifth, it was more small ball, and it was singles, getting walks, just getting guys on base and timely hitting to drive them in. That's when this team is at their best. That's what we saw earlier in the year. So it was very impressive to see. But you do got to give Campbell some credit here. They fought. I mean, they put up seven runs, and they fought to the end, but the Gamecocks were just locked in right away and were simply way too good. Matthew Becker went three innings, allowing five runs. Nick Proctor was brilliant in relief, going three innings, allowing just two runs, really stabled the ship, came in, and Campbell had a little bit of momentum. He pitched more than he had this whole year, pitch count-wise. Shout out Nick Proctor. And then Will Sanders pitched three innings and got the save. I mean, it was just a brilliant regionals for the Gamecocks, and it's exactly what we've all been hoping and waiting for. The Gamecocks scored 41 runs over the three games and allowed just 11. The starters were as solid as you could ask for. The bullpen did a great job in holding steady, closing games. And the offense had contributions from everybody. And again, that's when this team is its most dangerous, when you can get guys in that bottom third of the lineup contributing. Even if it's moving guys over, walking to get on base. And you saw some fine defensive plays. Will Tippett in center field. It's so exciting to see. It's just so exciting to see it come together like that. You know, I think we all felt like it was possible, right? We had hope. We knew that it was there despite sort of a rocky end to the season. But to come out like this and to have that offensive explosion again in a consistent manner, not this up and down, this is a legitimate team right now, right? The Gamecocks have a legitimate chance as anybody, right? Up next for the Gamecocks is a date in the Super Regionals. We're only a couple of wins away from Omaha, y'all. Like, this is serious. We are in this. So now we just have to wait. It's going to be the winner of the Gainesville Regional, which will either be Texas Tech or Florida. Florida staved off elimination Sunday night to force a do-or-die game Monday afternoon. So we're going to find out whether we're going to Gainesville and they will host the Supers, or if Tech wins, they're coming to us, and we host the Columbia Super Regionals, which that would be something. And if that happens, the college baseball world better look out, because the Gamecocks are hot once more. So exciting. So exciting. Next episode, I will preview, full Super Regional preview and everything like that. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.